So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first?
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hey, come here. I got something good for you. Come on.
Hello and welcome to episode 58 of the Toy Aisle Podcast. I'm your host, Dave, out here in Chandler, Arizona. And then we have all the way from Nashville, Tennessee, Kevin. How are you, man? What's going on, dude?
What's up, y'all? Good to be here for episode 58 of the podcast.
Your bi-weekly dose of everything from lightsabers, Infinity Stones, and all things plastic. Want to give a small apology, because we don't apologize for a lot, especially on this show, but a small apology for those that may have thought we were live last week and were waiting around for us. Well, here we are today, bitches. So it is bi-weekly, as we discussed a couple weeks ago, that we do this every other week, and we'll make sure to try to fine-tune that schedule a little bit. That way you can, you know, see it on the Instagram, see it here and there. That way you're not confused. So if you were waiting around for us last week, we do apologize, but we got a lot to cover today. But whether you get us here on YouTube live, whether you go and grab us on iTunes or Spotify, whatever your daily way to get a hold of us is, thank you for doing so. And we've been getting some nice reviews recently, as well as want to give a shout out to Replay Toys, one of my go-tos locally. They shouted us out on their platform today, saying that we were the real deal, we're entertaining. So I don't know if they're on here watching right now, but thank you, Replay Toys, for giving us a good review and driving some traffic to the podcast. So Dave, it's good to be back with you, man.
Yeah, dude. Shout out to Replay Toys. That was very nice and thoughtful. And it's good. I like the kind of new schedule, you know, get a little week break. There's always going to be toy news every week, but it's nice to kind of just, we can just come in hot now. We got tons of stuff to go over. We'll definitely try, you know, to not be repetitive, because we do know, you know, you're going to get your content, your toy news. You're kind of coming here for Kevin's hot takes and me, you know, just pretty much complaining about everything. So, you know, all your normal outlets to get, you know, what was released and whatnot. You won't be left stranded. So, the bi-weekly move, it's going to be good, I think.
Yeah, it's going to work out good for everybody. And as I think you'd mentioned just a few minutes ago, our goal is to not inundate you with things that you already know. You know, we don't want it just to be like, oh, this is out today, check your stores. And we're going to certainly do that, you know, as needed. But we want this podcast to be entertaining, and we want to give you, spin on everything that is out there. And we talk about plastic and we put some power behind it. So this is going to be a good episode. As you know, we posted on Instagram, Dave. We have our stinker of the week, and we can't wait to tell who, what, or where everyone shat on us. And so this should be a good one.
Yeah, and that's a kind of caveat with the stinker of the week. It's not always just like one like toy. It could be a movie. It could be a TV episode. It could be a certain panel. It could be anything. So very much looking forward to that. Let's hop into the Jedi Council. So first things first, last week Fig Set went live. Very exciting stuff. So that went live last Wednesday. And if you haven't listened to, you know, the previous episodes, basically Fig Set is a company that making backdrops specifically for your DTOF. And it's very exciting stuff. Kevin's got a little care pack coming in the mail shortly. And I kind of just want to show off the site a little bit. We do have some specials going on right now. A site launch special, and that's good until October 1st. So save some money there, and then kind of some, the more you buy, the price goes down on that fourth one, or you get free shipping on the eighth one. But this is what I wanted to kind of show real quick, and then we'll move on. But these are all the options that we got. You know, you can just, you want an apocalypse scene to go with maybe your Justice League figures. You got a whole kind of dojo settings for your, you know, Storm Shadow, you name it. Very generic, graphic, horror. We're going to have a big horror month in October. Just I mean, it's totally up to the person, you know, as far as their creativity. And some of these even have the ability to customize. As soon as I get to, like this one, for example, you know, you got Doctor Strange's library, but maybe you want him to go to that, you know, that scene in the movie, right, where he goes to the doctor's office. You know, you can switch that to a mountain scene or jungle. So it's, I'm just really excited to see what people are going to do with their poses and stuff like that. So that was
exciting. That's some really cool shit. And as you know, we talked about, I'm super excited to get me some fig sets in here because, as you know, I have quite a few DTOFs. And one of the things I think that is great about this is one of the things I talk about in our displays for dummies is that you need to be careful about, you know, lighting and be careful about, you know, letting direct sight, you know, hit it. But this, because of, you know, my situation, I have some of my DTOFs in front of windows, you know, the shades are drawn, but now I can stop the sun from coming, you know, in on that back end, even a little bit by putting some of these fig sets in here. So it's just an extra layer of protection. Although it, you know, gives you the protection, it also gives you a sweet backdrop to really bring your displays to life. And I will be doing a full review, you know, once I get some in here and kind of put it behind here. But Dave, I think fig sets is the display choice of the future. And I really think there's some big things ahead for y'all on that.
Thanks, man. And to your point, back at you with, dude, your YouTube, I just watched your lighting YouTube video, and your videos are just getting better, man. So I really enjoy watching your YouTube videos. It's nice.
Well, I do appreciate that. And we have the Collection Room Volume 5 tomorrow for anyone that may be wondering what all you got in here. And so we have a shit ton of stuff to show you guys tomorrow, but that will be going live on the YouTube channel tomorrow at 7:30. If you're not all 7:30 Central Time, sorry. But if you're not already subscribed to my YouTube channel, you can find my Instagram right there, but it's still Kiko Collects on YouTube, and check it out. We have some fun over there.
Nice. Okay. And you went to a toy shop this weekend.
I did, man. And I know you guys got to go to some conferences recently, but there's just something about kind of popping the cherry of, you know, a new toy store in your area. And so I was super excited that we do a lot of hype for ICCC, the conference in Nashville. As you know, coming up this next conference, Ian McDiarmid, the Emperor, will be there. He will be one of the main panel guests. So it's a really great conference that's really taking off. ICCC is what it is. But bred out of the ICCC conference is now the IC Toy Nashville. And so I went there and actually got some swag to go with it. So we're going to go ahead and represent IC Toys Nashville. And they specify in Star Wars. That's their main thing. They've gravitated more towards, I'd say, the vintage pieces. So as soon as I walked in, there was two, count them, Imperial shuttles available, as well as one in box. I'm like, oh boy, here we go.
Okay.
It was a graded in box, one for the cool price of $1,600.
$15 at least.
Yeah, I was like, we're going to pass on that one, but they're doing a really good thing. Got to hang out with the owner there, and she let us have, you know, she obviously represented, they gave us the hat, but they have a really cool claw machine there as well. And so there's just something nostalgic about a claw machine, but there's all kinds of like little Clone War tech deck pieces. I went Instagram live at the claw machine. So if you want to check that whole little adventure out, it's on my Instagram. But it's a great store, man. It's really good. And I'm always willing to support our local toy shops because, you know, they are the backbone of our collecting. And so make sure to give you the support. So if you're ever in Nashville, please check out IC Toys Nashville. And then one last plug for these lovely people is that if you're looking to game, looking for some pinball, looking for some arcade, there's a sweet barcade literally right down the road called Game Terminal. So Dave, when you come down to ICCC, we'll hit up IC Toys Nashville and then go crush some beers at the Game Terminal. And we're going to have one hell of a time.
I like it. Yeah, they'll probably have that Spooky Empire, or was it Spooky Empire? Spooky Pinball, Halloween Pinball that I almost bought for like $10,000.
Oh, most likely, because they have an unbelievable selection of some of the different cabinets and different type of boards they have out there. Even like some of the brand new ones, like the new Mandalorian one's already there. And so I fully anticipate that Halloween one will definitely be there as well.
That's awesome, man. Well, I mean, I totally relate to you about like kind of christening a toy store or just kind of like pop culture store, because I did that as well this weekend. I didn't find out about this until I think like a week ago, which is insane to me. I think I'm pretty like dialed in as far as, you know, toy stuff and horror stuff locally in my area. But the Arizona's premier year-round horror slash Halloween shop opened up, and it's like literally like less than like 3 miles away from my house.
So this like, is a little bit better than the Spirit Halloween's.
Yes, this is like okay. It's not a year round, like don't think of it like that, like a year round Spirit. Think of it like a year round collectible kind of custom arts and crafts. I mean, the portion of it was he had it made look like a video store. So the one portion was just VHS tape. So your boy.
So that's where you put it on Instagram.
Yeah, your okay, boy cool, had a cool. fucking field day when I went yeah. in there. It was just like a little, you know, because they usually had the scary movies sometimes, like in the back section or the whatnot. Spooky you movies. Know. Yeah, so it totally had that vibes. He even had like a little TV, like kind of going back there. It's very cool. And then he had a whole comic wall of just, you know, old Tales from the Crypt, you know, books and Crime Patrol and Tales of Terror, like really older kind of books. And then your, you know, your movie posters, shirts. I bought a Evil Dead blanket. You know, like a throw kind of over the couch type blanket. And then, yeah, we'll get in our pickups. But it was awesome. And it was a soft opening. They actually don't open until October 1st. But I don't know if I said the name yet. Terror Traders. And they did their kind of grand or soft opening. And they had the Phoenix Ghostbusters group there. Sweet, and it was like a full on, you know, little party. And it was just awesome seeing all those like kind of like-minded people. I was just having conversations with just random people left and right. It was a blast, dude.
Well, I have to ask, did they have any werepups available?
You know what? It was pretty busy, so I didn't get to do a full look, but they had a whole custom like Annabelle doll section of like, I think he has like maybe a dozen different vendors that like make stuff, and he sells, you know, they might like be like a coffin, like lamp, you know, that's shaped like a coffin, you know, stuff like that. So, but one lady had just a bunch of custom creepy ass dolls, but I did not see a werepup.
Damn. Well, I guess I will have to wait still for Replay Toys to have mine come in. I didn't know if there was a way to get it early. So keep an eye out for me, Dave, just in case.
You got to get one of the OG ones, dude. Get one of the OG ones.
I know. I'm willing to throw down, you know, I've already said it. It will be part of the Collection Room Volume 6, telling you right now. that will be a part of it. And I can't wait, man. The spooky season is upon us.
It's upon us, baby. Okay. And then lastly, I did a little guest appearance on the Geek Out show with Jade and Heath. And that should be dropping pretty soon. We kind of just did strictly Star Wars. It was just a lot of fun to kind of get, you know, we kind of went over the fan panel and whatnot. And then just what's in the pipe. Like there's a lot of video game news, which we don't really, you know, cover too much. But it was a lot of fun, man. Heath and Jade are awesome dudes. And yeah, that's a Geek Out show, the Geek Out show. But yeah, dude, let's get into the pickups. What did you get recently, man?
So whenever we have 2 weeks worth to cover, you know, there can be a lot of damage that's done in between. You know how that goes. But
yep.
So I've had a lot of stuff come in, but I just want to focus on a couple things that I think are important to show. The number thing, and I will be showing you the big pickup that you and I talked about, and I'll be doing a full YouTube video about whether I should have gotten this or not, but we'll talk about that in a second. But you may have seen it on my Instagram already, but I did not want to wait any longer. We finally have Venom from Hot Toys, and this is one of the coolest figures easily in my top five of all the pieces I have. This thing has obviously a magnet head. It comes with two different head sculpts. He's massive. I brought Spidey as a friend to kind of show you for scale. There we go. That's how big he is for scale, so you can get an idea. But I mean, look at this thing as far as the head sculpt and the portrait. It's nasty. So this is really cool. He comes with a ton of tendrils and hands and, you know, an alternate head. This is a figure you do not want to miss, especially with the Carnage movie coming out here in just a couple weeks. This is going to be a special one to get. I mean, look at that, even that side profile. And that is Venom, and I'm very, very happy about that. So go ahead.
That's going to be on a lot of people's top tens, top fives. That looks absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and he's already sold out overseas. He's not made it over to Sideshow yet. So if you do want to grab one and get your order allotment in, highly recommend going to Sideshow and putting a pre-order in for that if you want it, because they are already sold out overseas. So Venom is real. So I do have one other thing I will show you, but we will volley back and forth if that's okay.
Okay.
I'll come back to that.
Well, I know all of our listeners and viewers are very anxious to hear the outcome of the Thrawn Gentle Giant statue trilogy.
As am I. As you can see, mine is safely behind me. Where's he at? Right there. Mine's safe behind me there, representing.
Yeah. 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 There he is. Okay. So third time's a charm.
There we go. With the head. Okay. Okay.
With the head. God, that'd be fucking hilarious if I dropped this. Yeah, dude. I'm so excited. It felt a little weird, like throwing away all of those like pieces of the other
pieces. Did you get rid of all the pieces already?
So, yeah, they made me destroy it and show pictures of it each time before they would send me a new one. But I made sure to not damage the head. So,
boy, that's what I was getting at. And I was wondering if you want to possibly work out a trade, because I was wondering if maybe we could try to use one of those heads on a 6-scale body and make a Thrawn, because I think because I was looking at mine standing next to Krennic. These are like a 1/7 scale bust.
Right.
So it's a kind of different
scale. It's a little small. Yeah.
Got a big head. So perhaps it would look right. But I think it'd be an interesting kit bash potentially.
Yeah, man. Well, you got one with your name on it. So yeah. And, it was just funny. I was like thinking like, oh, maybe I'll keep the bases. And I'm like, I'm throwing all this shit away, but I kept it.
I guess third time's a charm though. I mean, cause when you got the one, I was like, man, that sucks. But then when you got another one that completely shit the bed again, I was like, what up? That's ridiculous. But now there it is.
And it's
a good piece.
Yeah. I think I mentioned it. They even gave me like a, for on the second time, they gave me like a $25 credit or something just to be like, hey, sorry, you know, shit happens. Here's $25. And I was like, hey, awesome. You know, that's what I like to see out of a company, you know?
Yeah. But, and I even when I went to pick mine up from Replay, I'm like, can you please open this to make sure it's not broken? Because Dave's broken two of them and I want to make sure that mine's real.
Smart. So you had him open it? Yeah, that's very smart.
Yeah, because I wanted to, I mean, it could look fine in the window box all day, but then I get it home and like the head falls off. And so I want to make sure. So.
Well, nice shit, man. I got two more things real quick. I'll go over this one and then I'll get it back to you. But I'd Wrecker show up.
Wrecker.
So one of the very, very many things that I totally forgot that I had on pre-order. I wasn't even expecting it.
Where'd you pre-order that one from?
That was an Amazon deal.
Nice grab.
And usually I'm pretty up to speed with what's, you know, toy relating on my Amazon account, but I kind of dropped the ball on that. Gil, what's up, man? And then so you got one more thing, yeah? What else you get?
So, Dave, I'm going to actually read this text message that you sent me, and I'm hopefully, let's see here. So I'm like, okay, this was sent on Sunday, September the 12th at 8:30 Central Time.
Oh,
and I said,
oh, hey, is this about what I think it's going to be about? Like,
yes,
you're, oh boy. Okay.
I totally forgot. And so it says, I said, I have the potential to get my EV99. And if you guys remember, Dave was needing that last piece from the Kenner original 1977 line to complete his Kenner run. And, you know, that is kind of the, was his white whale that he was going after. And so I said, I have the potential to get my EV99. What went through your head, Dave, before making the decision to go all in? Talk me out or in. To which you said, oh boy. And he said, okay. So it came down to these three things. And by the way, I'm going to make a video on this because this is actually really good information. But Dave said, it comes down to these three things. I knew I needed the figure. Bid was low enough that I could be a player and I had the funds, and the figure was in great shape. And you know what? Those are three great things to think about. To which I responded with, I feel like I check all those boxes, but need, quote, is the one I'm struggling with. It's so elusive and rarely comes up that it's kind of not really part of the line, but it would technically be the final piece. To which you then said, then you can always offload it later and you change your mind. Better that route than regret not doing it in a few weeks. And I said, damn, these are such great points. I will make a video on this. And then I send you a picture of Sex on the Beach, the club cocktails. That's how the rest of my my day went. So, Dave, I ended up doing it. Do you say you have a guess?
Yeah.
Okay. So I will give you your guess. I think you may be on to what it may be, but I will field your guess, and then I will show you, and I'll try to keep my poker face right here. Dave, go ahead.
The Hound, Game of Thrones.
Very good guess, but wrong.
Ah! Is it Game of Thrones?
It is not. Okay, as I said, it's so elusive, most people don't even consider it part of the line. Are you ready for this?
Michael, the last Hail Mary, that Michael Jackson one that you still need.
Hang tight. So I will say is that this is a very... It's so elusive, it hardly ever comes up. It's not considered part of a line because there's not many out there. So I then said, okay, what am I going to do? And I finally pulled the trigger, and Dave, you were correct.
There it is.
I now own the Michael Jackson Billie Jean. This is one of the actual grails from Hot Toys. I actually did a video on this too. The word grail is thrown around so often, but this is one, as I said, this is the one that was released right when he died. And they were only available in Hong Kong. They hardly ever make it to the States. And when they do, they are asking ridiculous amounts of money. So this here, this figure alone, next to the Hulkbuster, is my most expensive figure. And that just gives you an idea of what I dropped on it. But
yeah.
But I'm happy because I have my entire Michael Jackson line. I told you that's something I always wanted to have.
Yep.
And, you know,
there you go.
The Blitzway Ghostbusters and the Michael Jackson line was something I've always wanted. And I never thought, because I was never going to pay overseas, because you never know if it's actually going to show up. But I wanted to find a U.S. seller. I did. And with you talking me into it, I finally made it into where I have the Billie Jean History Michael Jackson edition. Dude. And you will see it in its full glory tomorrow on the walkthrough of the Volume 5 Collection Tour.
I mean, you...
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, you're very welcome. You know, I did a lot. I did a lot of heavy lifting, having to convince you. Dude, that's a big deal, man. I mean, that's pretty much equivalent to, you know, my EV99 as far as, like, yeah, like, you hit... I don't see them bringing out, you know, new Michael Jackson figures. So, like, you're done that line. You know, it's done. Monkeys off the back, you know?
Yeah. And so if we want to get real crazy, the last, I guess, grail whale that we're looking for would be that Ecto-1 eventually. But I just don't have places to put that at this point in time. I'm going to have to find a really good deal, essentially. That's not on the radar. That's something way down the line. But you never know. Some Sex on the Beach cocktails, me hanging out with you. We could bring it home one day. You never know.
I can't imagine all this shit. Like, if you and I spending 3 days together, something like, you know, bullshit in Nashville or in Anaheim or in Phoenix or whatever, and then just, like, you know, seeing the eBay statements at the end of the month, like, how many bids? Like, you're winning, and it's like, what did I bid on?
The best is when the stuff starts showing up, and it's the post office, it's UPS again, blah blah blah, and you just have this, like, collection of boxes that, you know, are sitting out at the trash can, to which you can't hide that from your wife or significant other.
No.
And they'll be like, shit, Kev, why do you have 75 boxes just sitting out there? I thought you just got back from Dave. Didn't you find anything out there? I was like, well, yeah, we weren't really great you know, recommended for each other. So yeah, surprise, honey, to which I then will end up having to take her on another trip for my negligence. So,
sure.
So I have to play it like that.
eBay is always, they're always like, they're a snitch. eBay's a fucking snitch because, you know, when it's just like a box from Target or a box from Big Bad or something, I can just hit her with the, yeah, well, I just pre-order. It's just a pre-order. You know, there's no fucking pre-ordering on eBay. Okay. Like she knows, like
5 days later, it's on your doorstep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you fuck eBay. You're so bad in so many ways, snitch.
But I'm still in bed with eBay because I still make several poor choices. I made more poor choices, you know, even this week. So I can't wait to share those with you on the next one. So
yeah, eBay is literally life and death. All right, man. Well, let me burn through these. This is the new, what's my new handle? VHS 66 VHS Junkie. So these are all from Terror Traders, Anaconda. What a beautiful,
love J-Lo in that. Yeah.
Beautiful case, dude. I definitely got a theme going on here. Arachnophobia. I'm really happy about this. The Jaws.
That's
2-pack.
A nice one. Nice one.
It's a nice one too. I got some old Universal Monsters, the Phantom Opera and Werewolf of London. And funny story about the Phantom of the Opera. I found a different, one of the newer versions at Goodwill, and at Goodwill, you know, you always got to look at the actual tape because you might get, you know, some homemade porn or something like that, on there. And I was like, oh shit, Phantom of the Opera. And like, I grabbed it, I checked in, and it was like some
Johnny Sins.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So, and then I bought it and confirmed that it was Johnny Sins. But yeah, and then so later that night, I found the other Phantom Opera at Terror Trader. So funny story there. H2O, very pumped on that one. And then last two, got to go with It. And I was really excited about this one. Jason X. Jason.
That's a great one. That's a great cover.
Jason in
too.
Space. Yeah. Yeah, dude. And that was just a lot of fun. I can't wait until it opens up, you know, full time. I mean, they're going to be like I think a 10-7 kind of deal etched every day, year round. And he did say that he has like so much stock, like he has storage units.
Well, that's great news for you then.
yeah. And he, when people were taking tapes, he just had someone just like going in the back and bringing out new ones. So I think it was probably like a case, like he was probably just a collector that's like maybe kind of done the conventions and then just has so much stuff and is like, fuck it, I'm going to do an actual shop. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. But okay. So is that everything?
Well,
yeah,
I'm
pumped. Thanks,
because
man.
You showed Halloween H2O, do you want to say anything about the new Halloween trailer? Do we want to save that for later?
Yeah, other we can get into that. Yeah, I mean, this episode's going to be pretty loose. So, yeah, we can get crazy. Yeah, so what's the final trailer of Halloween Kills?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you even more excited? Or are you kind of just like, whatever, the trailer is almost the same as the last one? Like, what is it doing for you?
So this, and I jokingly told you, like, it opens up the Halloween multiverse, kind of, to me, is that, you know, it brings back all the old people from all the old films. They're all back in this one, which I think was fantastic. It's not just Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, it's everybody. Right. And so I think that they kind of laid out the idea that this dude isn't just a man anymore, that it is the embodiment of evil. And so I really am excited to kind of see where the story goes from here, because I think there is Halloween Ends after that. There's one more, right?
Yeah, and I think they finished filming on that too. Like they basically
filmed
both
simultaneously.
Movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I wouldn't say it was the same. Like I'm excited about it, but like I also didn't need to see that. Like just get me in that movie already. You know what I mean? I just want to go see it. So I don't want to see anything else about it. I can't wait. You know, until I see the film, and if it's good, dude, I'm all in on David Gordon Green. Then, you know, if Halloween Kills is going to be good, which I really think it's going to be, I have a lot more confidence in everything that he's doing, and he's doing The Exorcist coming up. So,
and that's, you know, the one, just because there's so much ill will towards all the other Exorcist movies that, I mean, you have the original Exorcist, which wasn't a classic, but then all the other ones were just, you couldn't measure up to that because I guess, you know, the shock value was gone and you really need to kind of figure out a way to rebirth that project. So Right. Yes, if I think what you'd said is exactly right. You know, if you nail and stick this landing, then perhaps you can do some of the other classics.
Yeah. And back to Halloween Kills. I just heard, it sounds like his kill count is going to be through the roof. And
I love the girl or somebody hanging from the swing. That's pretty wild.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Like,
that's pretty brutal.
I can't wait, man. I've been watching a lot of the Halloween movies. I, you know, think I mentioned it. I hit on a bid for like the box set Blu-ray set, which is like insane. It's going for crazy on eBay right now, the Halloween box set. And I'm sure after Halloween Ends comes out, they'll do like a 13 disc or probably like, you know, 16 discs with like a couple, you know, special edition discs. But I'll be getting that when that happens. But yeah, no, I'm very excited about Halloween Kills, man. Yeah, that trailer looks awesome.
And I just think it's good to kind of get our Halloween spooky juices going because, man, we're only 40 days from Halloween, which is pretty awesome to think about. Halloween and fall is my favorite season and holiday. So, and I get into it, man. I love the spooky feels. And I keep saying spooky because it reminds me of Randy Marsh when he has the Blockbuster in South Park. And he goes, I thought we were just going to rent spooky movies. That's one of my favorite South Parks ever. So, yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into Star Wars. And while we're in Star Wars, we're immediately going to transition to the stinker of the week. And
wow, funny how that works out.
Just an immediate hard right, you know, on the off ramp there, getting on the highway, immediately getting off. And that goes out to that Star Wars Fan First panel. That was, you know, abysmal. That was so bad. I kept on like, all right. I told myself, I was like, all right, I still need to be like, of course I'll be respectful and everything, but like I do, you know, give that team a lot of grief, but it's all warranted. But now like the training wheels are off here. I'm just going to start saying it how it is. That was such a joke. I felt like the stuff that Patrick was saying, I felt like he was like a politician. It was just like spinning, like the verbiage he was using. And, you know, objectively, I don't think we got any like new figures out of that other than just repaints. So yeah, you can get excited about that. I just don't get it. Go ahead.
And I was just going to say, and going back to that, and I'm sure you're getting ready to talk about it, this whole debacle about the Razor Crest, and I'm going to let you kind of get into that, but I have my thoughts, so I'll let you lead with it.
Yeah. First off, everyone is thinking, you know, when they announce this, oh, okay, we're going to hear about the Rancor. And like everyone thought that this is going to be Fan First thing. They've already been teasing the Rancor. We it's few and far between the Star Wars Fan Fridays or whatever. So if that's coming in the fall, there's probably not going to be another one. Like this is going to be it. So we didn't even get that. Right. And that's not their fault. You know, that's on us for speculating that or whatnot. But what they did at the end of it, you know, they mentioned that the Razor Crest is going to be delayed. And, you know, they could have said this isn't like news to people of like what's currently going on with like supply chain and whatnot, just across the board. You know, it doesn't matter if you're sourcing something domestically or internationally, there's issues all around. So the fact that we haven't gotten any information about the Razor Crest was very weird and not like how it was with the sail barge. So that was kind of where the smoke started. So you combine that with what's going on in the world, no one's no one's surprised that this is going to be delayed. But this is where the whole like politician spin cycle thing is. Patrick literally, I'm paraphrasing, but he literally said it's delayed due to the overwhelming amount of backers. And
see, that's where I have to call bullshit, because does he not realize that part of these Hasbro teams, that there's also a Marvel Legends team that just had a Sentinel released around the same time with even more backers than that? And so that doesn't hold water. And that is, it is such a slap in the face to the people that have funded this, to where you have so much ill will, you know, right now with, I feel, the Star Wars fan base and collectors, to where you have people like you and I coming on here and just, you know, blowing them up for it. And we're not the only ones. I mean, there's accounts out there that's saying, Jesus, I mean, at some point you have to take some responsibility for it. And you have to wonder at the top, who is saying that, you know what, Patrick, you're doing a great job. Who is actually going to these board meetings and saying,
yeah,
hey man, you guys are killing it right now. That I would love to know that.
There's just got to be like a lot of back end stuff. That's, you know, I'm sure he's great. He's amazing at his specific job of like marketing, you know, but I don't want that. I want someone like Steve Evans, like Dwight, like the big three. I want someone that's obviously like a fan. You know, I'm very passionate about the line, so it's infectious. Like, I want them to get me excited about it. And like every time, like, you know, Patrick, and I don't even know who the other people are on the team. They kind of seem like they rotate in and out, and it's almost like, you know, no one probably wants to be a part of that team because they just know it comes with so much, you know, polarizing, you know, fans, you know, and like, you know, you're tied to that team, you're immediately public enemy, you know, like our crazy Star Wars fan base is going to just tear you apart. And I mean that, so that, yeah, that could be our fault. You know, that I don't think I would really want to take a job, but
we're just the toxic fans, man.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, regardless, that was such a disappointing, you know, fan stream. And then the fact that they didn't tie it off or end it with the Rancor, even more frustrating. We talked about it, Jaden Heath. I think it was Heath had a really good point. Maybe they did that on purpose and didn't bring it up, because could you imagine the backlash if they were like, hey, the Razor Crest is delayed. By the way, order your you know, $450 Rancor now, you know, but, you know, you're not, like your other one's delayed, like that would have probably not have gone over well either. So maybe they, you know, specifically like decided to not talk about that on that stream because they knew they had to kind of give the bad news of the Razor Crest.
See, I'm gonna have to play devil's advocate on that, because that reminds me too many times having to lie for my drunk father, you know, for being crazy. And you just had to sit there and make up lies to try to cover up, you know, why he was being an ass or something like that.
Sure.
So to me, I mean, just sit there and own the stuff, and you can't sit there and be, oh, the kids' gloves are off at this point.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm the hateful person, but show us something, do something to win the goodwill back. And I think that is our big issue that we have right now, is that what are they doing to really, you know, give us some goodwill back? And I've yet to see that in any release, any transparency on communication. And I know they can't help the pricing increases and things like that. I mean, that's just the way the world is. But do something to where the collector is not being punched in the balls nonstop.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So that's our stinker of the week. I mean, we can kind of just run down the reveals. Like I said, this is a week, possibly even 2 weeks old at this point, because I think it came out on Wednesday. We did our show on Tuesday. So, you know, if you're listening, you probably already know what they showed. But one thing I did want to point out, it was revealed that we were going to get another build up pack. And it was going to be Mandalorian themed, Mandalorian branded. And we had some guests.
We had some great guesses, man.
That's the thing. We had guests that we want. We had the figures that we wanted. And we weren't thinking of a cost and stuff like that, which, you know, who the fuck wants to do that? You know, long story short, the Mandalorian with a bunch of mud on him, the texture is very cool. I do think there's room for that figure somewhere in, you know, the line, whatnot, but you know, what is that? Like the eighth Mandalorian that we've gotten at this point.
There's a lot of them, and it's funny because how many versions of the child can you do as well? I mean, it's so small and so much. I mean, I think one has the eyes closed, one has the eyes open. It's kind of like the Hot Toys version. I mean, like, oh, every Mando character comes with a miniature Grogu. I was like, how many different Grogus do you need? He only has so many facial expressions. So beyond disappointed that we didn't get, you know, a Cobb Vanth build up or something like that. But yeah, let's just keep going to that well.
Yeah. I think, yeah, you mentioned like a Nomad Boba Fett. That would have been sweet. Okay. Was there anything out of that panel that like got you pumped or that you're like interested in, anything like that?
Nothing really that was really, you know, groundbreaking. I'm just looking here at some of the things that we wrote down. You know, the retro stormtrooper. I still don't think the carbonized thing does it for me. There's some people, I guess, that really do like that. I feel like that one's kind of just jumped the shark a little bit. When it comes down to kind of like in your situation, you know, we all have space issues, and I don't need 75 versions of something. We're just with, you know, different paint deco. And especially if you're going to take them out of the box, in box, I certainly don't have room for boxes. But I guess to each their own. I mean, obviously they have market intel that shows that they are selling. So, but I know some people are excited about that, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. I don't have any of the credit collections. It doesn't do anything for me. One thing that I was pretty excited seeing was the TVC Stormtrooper Trooper Pack. I love that. I've been saying it for a long time now. As soon as the Legends team started doing those trooper builds in the, you know, more economic eco-friendly packaging, I think it's just in a small box, you know, and I believe they're a little cheaper too. That seems like just a money printing machine like type decision, you know, throw up generic stormtroopers, make them a little cheaper, so for TVC they could just come in a bag, so you don't even need the card back. Black Series, same thing, comes in a bag, make it $18, and just something that never, you know, gets sold out, and like fucking everyone would buy like 20 stormtroopers. Like I don't understand that, and like not just like adopting that of how Marvel Legends is doing that and just start doing that. So maybe this is like they're finally starting to like, okay, they're open to the idea. Maybe
it's easy money, and as you maybe I'm just stupid, but it's one of those things that I just don't see why you just don't go down that route, because as you said, people will buy them, people will buy mass of them, and it's easy to produce, and you don't need anything fancy. I mean, it's strictly for to purchase in mass. So I mean, get your margins any way you can, and that's certainly one way to do it.
Yep. Okay. Well, let's get out of the Hasbro stuff. Man, we got a lot to talk about in Six Scale, right?
We sure do, man. And I want to bring this up because it is officially 1 month has passed with zero Star Wars content from Six Scale News, which, if you remember, going all the way back to August the 23rd is when we had the Scout Trooper from Return of the Jedi was revealed. And do you want to take a guess how long it's been since we actually had a release, Dave? For Star Wars, yes.
2 months?
Exactly.
Maybe not that long.
It was exactly 2 months tomorrow. July 22nd was the release of the Coruscant Guard. And we have been, you know, it's been dry over here, man. You know, Marvel and everything is just pumping it out. And we'll talk about that when we get there. But I wonder, it's not like they don't have them in the pipeline. I mean, we've had pre-order, 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 pre-order. for the past, you know, 2 years. Where are these figures? What is happening? And it's not an issue of being able to manufacture them. And we'll talk about this once we get to Marvel, because I'm looking at a bunch of Marvel releases that just came out. So what is it about their pipeline to where these things aren't coming out? Where is Rex? Where is Ahsoka? All these things are were slated to be between, you know, September and October of this year. Right. Those aren't anywhere close to being here.
You know, it could be, you know, trying to stay in line with the storyboard groups. I don't know if Hot Toys, it's really that imperative for them to, you know, release stuff, you know, after a movie drops or a show drops or whatnot. So, yeah, because it is weird that we haven't gotten anything. I think Captain Rex was like probably the last one, right?
Yeah. And I mean, that was the one that was, I remember sitting at my mother-in-law's house when they announced Captain Rex. You know, this was right when, kind of 2 years ago almost, when that tornado ripped through Nashville, and we were staying at my mother-in-law's house, and they're like, oh, here you go. Here's some nice news for you that morning. But that's how long it's been, man, since it was released. And so it's not like they don't have the bodies. You know, I'm looking at a bunch of Clone Wars, those 501st released, and yep. So you got the body. You have the head sculpt because you got your Cody's, you know, it's not like right. You don't have that. So paint the hair blonde and throw it on there. What are we waiting on? So very, very interesting to say the least. I know they just asked right there, is that what are my thoughts on the Clone Wars Sideshow Obi-Wan and Anakin? We did talk about that. I think they're cool, but that price point is not cool at all. And that was our big, big That's thing. Right. I'd love to see them in hand, kind of what they do. And if they do additional pieces of that line, but they are way overpriced, I think, for what they are.
Yeah. Yeah. I do remember that now. Yeah. Weren't they like even more than a Hot Toy?
I mean, I think, you know, the Hot Toys usually like 250. This was like 225. And I was like, that not going to happen. So yeah, it's a little discouraging that, you know, it's officially 1 month since any news at all from Star Wars, but hey, you know, the night is young, you know, we could still get something tomorrow. I know they like to drop things on Tuesday nights, Wednesday morning. So fingers crossed we get that. But you know what, Dave? We are going back to the future on Tipping the Scales here, because we got a lot to say. Is that we got real excited when the OG Marty and the OG Doc, but now let's just go ahead and round out this fucking line, man. We now have Back to the Future 3, Marty and Doc, and I think you're getting pretty hype about these, aren't you, Dave?
Dude, I can't fucking wait, man. It's funny. I think it was the Frank and Sons collectible show that I went to in California like two or three months ago. And, you know, my rule with Hot Toys is like, I'm just going to do troopers. That's it. A couple Star Wars troopers, nothing fucking crazy. Well, I got like fucking 14 Hot Toys now and a ton more on pre-order. But when I went to Frank and Sons and I got to see the most like Hot Toys in one time, like ever, like even at like a collectible shop, you know, there might only be like 10. There is every booth, like it seemed like there was a lot of booths that had a ton of them. And I got to see a bunch of, you know, figures in the Hot Toy form that I've never seen before. And I immediately was like, yeah, I'm going to start fucking with some other of my favorite fandoms. You know, the 3-0 Breaking Bad pieces, you know, I'm after those. And then I told you, okay, well, I got back and I immediately was like, all right, what's the deal on the Back to the Future Hot Toys? Like, I know the Marty, you know, the Marty one, that's really expensive. Tell me about Marty two. And did they make a Doc? And so the juices were going then. And I had the OG Marty on my watch list on eBay. And, you know, I even put some bids on like, you know, 600, you know, 650. I can't remember what it ended up selling for, but I was like in the market. And then like a week later, they hit with that beautiful, beautiful re-release. And I got my order in right away for the Doc.
By the way, that is shipping in Hong Kong now. And it should be here in, you know, just
the Marty. Just the Marty. Just
Marty and Einstein, yes. No Doc. Yeah. And going back to this Marty and this new Doc, it's January 23. And that's a little depressing. I hope that they kind of move those up, but damn, these look good. I mean, those look so cool. And I mean, they're so much fun. And the biggest question is that we've now seen, there's that Doc. Hold it right there on that. Yeah. We've now seen three versions of the DeLorean. We've seen the DeLorean from the original Marty, the original one. We've seen the hovering DeLorean, you know, obviously from the screenshots from, you know, Back to the Future 2, those ones. And now we have this one from Back to the Future 3. I think we're getting a DeLorean. I think there's no chance that they're not going to do that. But will they be kind and just make it a convertible kit to where you can put the different pieces, different wheels, or are we going to have three different DeLoreans? What are your actual thoughts about this? Because who's going to have three of the room for three of those?
Yeah. Okay, so let's before we get into that, let's talk price point. What do you know how much the original one, what retail was for that? I'm guessing 500, 600.
Yeah, I think it, I know the Tumblr from Batman, I'm looking it up right now, was 600. And I know that right now, let's see, DeLorean Back to the Future 6 scale. See, if you were to buy it, then it was $689.99, which that's not bad. So
I'd figure that's what that's what retail would be, you know. And I mean, they're
going for $3,500 on eBay right now.
On eBay,
even still, $3,500 for the DeLorean all day long.
Nuts, man. Yeah. If they made three separate ones, there's probably going to be a very small amount of, you know, hot toy collectors that would buy all three of them.
Which one would you go for?
I feel you got to go classic. I would just do the one, possibly two, three. I wouldn't even consider doing three.
It's too niche.
Yeah. one of my good buddies, Travis, this is his favorite movie, which is, I mean, hey, to each their own. He's wrong. It's not the best one, but, But yeah, it's got to be like a kit, you know, that you can make it whatever version you want. I mean, and make it $100 more. You know?
The wheels and the top is some, like the little things are all you have to do. I can just see them like that, like little part on the top being a little magnet piece. The wheels just kind of just flock, you know, pop those off. But then, you know, everything else is all the same. The interior is all the same. So I was like, I don't know. So I guess we'll see. But man,
this is interesting. Do you think this speaks to a hint at, you know, re-releasing two?
Well, this actually comes with this figure. That's part of that figure.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Right, okay, yeah. Got it.
But, I mean, they certainly could. I think the Back to the Future 2s are probably going to be the ones that are get released last or re-released last, simply because we've never had an original doc. That Marty, the original one, was the big ticket one that everyone always wanted. And now they have these, so they may circle back around to, you know, BTFF2. So I don't know, man. It's a good time to be a Back to the Future fan. I can tell you that. Now, if we can just get a Biff in any form, I have to have a Biff. If they were to say, give me any figure you want from Back to the Future to go with these, it would be Biff, 100%.
Okay, so if they're like, all right, you're only going to get one, you know, and there's like four or five, you know, iterations of him, which is the one that you're picking?
I'm going to go with the classic 50s Biff with the with the rolled up sleeves and the Leatherman jacket and the skin tight pants. You know, I love that one. I'm not going for the Donald version. I'm not going for Gruff or anything like that, but all those that would look good with this. And I'm not going with Griff either, just because that one was too comical for me. And I think we lost Dave in the process here. So I guess he didn't like that I really wanted to go with that that version of Dave.
I'm there back. You are.
Hello, Dave.
So I think we both said, just classic 50s Biff, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, what do we got next on the docket? Okay, so let's go into top three, right? Are we done with tipping the scales?
We are. We have tipped them, and now we're just waiting for the pieces to fall where they may.
All right, so top three. So it's been a while. We didn't have one, you know, last episode. So this one, we are talking. What have I got written down here? What property do you want to see make a return? In film, so this could be on the small screen, this could be a movie, you could have a whole, you know, universe kind of mapped out for what you would want to see. So what kind of property, and you know, for example, like Die Hard. I want to see a Die Hard TV show, and we'll kind of talk about our ideas and whatnot. So that's going to be the top three today. Kevin, how about you get us started, man? What's your number three for what you would like to see, you know, make a comeback?
So this may be a little controversial, but I love controversy. So I would love to do a mini series, if we can, of Jack Sparrow's Pirates of the Caribbean. I am not interested in the reboot without Jack. I know. To me, I just
You can't replace him. Yeah.
You can't. And so regardless of what your opinions are of him or of Amber or whatever it may be, at the end of the day, I just want to see a character on my screen. That's what I really want to come down to. And I think that was one of the best characters he's ever portrayed, was Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
And I had fun, you know, watching those movies. And so I'm not interested in any of the new movies that come. Excuse me. So with that being said, I would love like a little mini series, like a 4-part, you know,
HBO maybe.
Yeah,
or something.
Something like that.
A little more budget.
One last mission or something like that, you know, something. But I want to see Johnny have an official send off as Jack Sparrow, not kind of a, you know, erase him from the history books type of thing. Cause I've never been a fan of that.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be interesting. I mean, that's, you know, this whole, you know, the term, you know, legacy, these legacy sequels where it's an idea of, you know, you're kind of going back to, you know, revitalizing a new, you know, an older franchise, but you're keeping the same characters involved, but introducing kind of new characters. You know, like Ghostbusters Afterlife is a perfect example. I'm pretty sure, yes, the folks are, yes, have some podcasts have coined the legacy sequel, but I love it. And I think that would fit right in there too, you know, do a legacy sequel, Pirates of the Caribbean, kind of, you know, have a newer, you know, group of people, but, you know, Jack Sparrow's there as well. You know, I think that's great. All right. So my number three, I'm going with the ghostest with the mostest, Beetlejuice.
It
baffles me, and I know why now. I've listened to a few podcasts that have done deep dives on, you know, Beetlejuice. Shout out to Collect and Destroy Baxter. He has a great podcast where he does like a 2-hour like deep dive on, you know, kind of movies like that and Goonies, Kickboxer, stuff like that. But the Beetlejuice one, you know, it was such a hit, right? Michael Keaton was the guy. That was just such an iconic film when it came out. So it was just always so strange why there wasn't a sequel. And, you know, I just want basically a legacy sequel of just a proper Beetlejuice sequel. And there was even a script that was written and everything. And basically it was about the Dietzes. They go to Hawaii, they buy a bunch of land development, and they're trying to like make, you know, all this land in a resort or something like that, but it's on a fucking burial ground. And so they conjure up all these, you know, these ghosts, and they start wreaking havoc, and then they somehow enlist Beetlejuice to help. So just the idea of Beetlejuice in Hawaii, yeah, like ever since I heard about that script, like that sounds so cool. So, you know, Michael Keaton is definitely open to, you know, playing old beloved characters that he's done. I see this as something that could still happen. And I feel like every year this kind of gets, you know, there's a little like someone says something in the tabloids or, you know, like an interview, and then people are like, oh, does this mean it's going to come? So I think we will see a sequel to Beetlejuice, as long as, you know, heaven forbids, but as long as, you know, Tim Burton and Keaton and Ryder, you have to have those three. If you don't, if something happens and you don't have one of those pieces to the puzzle, it's not going to happen. So I do think they need to do this in the next 5 years.
Yeah, I think that's a great one. And especially with, I'm not going to say return to prominence, but Keaton is really starting to, you know, whether, I don't know if, whether it was Birdman that kind of got him going again, or whether, you know, being in Spider-Man got it, but obviously, you know, Batman is back. I mean, he's really starting to kind of hit his stride again, which is awesome because I love Keaton. I think we all do. So I think that'd be perfect timing.
And I love the idea of like how the movie opens up is him at that, you know, the waiting room to go in to see his caseworker. And then like it's real time. And then his number just now is getting called, you know, cause he got his head shrunk and then he took that guy's number. Cause his number was like so long to wait. And then, so it's like, he's just now getting to like talk to his caseworker. So I think that'd be hilarious too, but that's my number three, Beetlejuice. What do you got for your number two, Kevin?
All right. Once again, this is going to be controversial and people may even roll their eyes at me, but I would like a revisit one last final season of Seinfeld. I want to see kind of like what they're doing now. Like, obviously, they've gotten out of jail, and I want to see their take on the real world today, you know, because it's so funny to step back and kind of watch, you know, how dated some of those, I mean, it's still funny as hell, but to kind of get their opinion, you know, on cell phones and text messaging and dating online. And, you know, I just feel like it would be, just be a fun, let it be a 6-7 episode type of thing, because they've done those little kind of callbacks, like in commercials, like, you know, they've done like little versions of it and they, people lose their mind over that. But if you could do like a 4 or 5 part little mini series of, you know, Seinfeld after the jail, whatever you want to call it, I think I would highly want to see that, and I'm all for it.
I mean, something about the Seinfeld gang and what they, how they would handle the COVID situation.
I know. It'd be too good.
I want that. I want that so bad.
Because it's everything that everyone always is thinking, but they just actually act it all out, and which makes it wildly inappropriate all the time. And just one last thing about that is like always going back to watch Seinfeld, like they could never get away like with some of the half the episodes that they did now, which would make it even more a creative challenge to kind of see how it would. But I want one more shot, another episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah. Another kick at the can, man. I mean, everyone would want that. I feel the same way about the Office.
You can't do a Friends reunion and not do a Seinfeld one.
We'll exactly. You know, I feel like, there's other shows that were doing that. Like, I know Fresh Prince did like a special, Parks and Rec did like a special, but like, I think there's definitely,
Full House.
Yeah. The Fuller House. Exactly. Like, man, I could totally see them doing just a quick little, you know, 6-episode miniseries of both those, Seinfeld and The Office. That would be awesome, man. All right. So that's your number two. All right. So my number two, we all know my closet obsession of this film, Cabin in the Woods. Love it or hate it. Love it or hate it. It's a film. Yes, it's a film. I would say it's pretty much right down the middle. People either really enjoy it or think that it is fucking so stupid and just the tropes are just too much. But I love that. So I want to make this. Well, I should have started it off this way. Have you watched what is it? American Horror Story, right? Yeah, the American Horror Story.
I'm not caught. I still need to watch the double feature. I'm not caught up on that season yet.
Okay, so you've always been watching these.
Okay. Yeah, I'm all good.
So what's that style called? Is that called an anthology? Like, would you call that an anthology show? So every season is its own storyline, right?
Yeah, it's a self-contained story. Yeah. Okay. And that's why the same actors are in there playing different characters.
Yeah. Okay. So I would want something like that. I would want an anthology style, but every episode is basically the whole show is kind of featured around the workers, right? The employees, you know, they're the shady scientists. You don't know what's going on. And I want the main character to be J.K. Simmons. And I don't know if it's because of the, does he do the American Family Insurance commercials. Like that's
depending on his haircut or his facial hair, he could look like a different person every single time. It's incredible to kind of see how versatile he is as an actor.
He's so good. Yeah. So that's basically what I picture of. I picture J.K. Simmons in the American Family commercials, and you're following him around, but every episode is centered around new people at the cabin. So the whole story is basically about him. He's like, maybe he works in the development, or he's like the actual controller and he's like hitting the switches. But and then every episode, it's just like about like new people that you introduce them real quick and then they get murdered.
I think you got a good pitch here, man. I really do. I think that this is well thought out. I think you got a good pitch here.
And just, I mean, say what you want about Drew Goddard, and you know, you could have it total like Buffy the Vampire vibes, and just really lean in to what I think this film is great about, is just exploding and showing off the classic tropes. You know what I mean? Just like all of the horror kind of, you know, typical stuff that happens in horror movies and making fun of it, like lean into it. And I want nothing but that. So that would be my number two, Cabin in the Woods, a TV series. All right, man. Bring it home.
So
number one.
Naturally, this is going to be controversial too. So let's go three for three, shall we? So this is not a reboot per se. This is a redo. And I want them to go back and redo Game of Thrones season 8. I want them to wrap up that story the right way, the way it should have been, not rushed, makes sense. And
wow.
Because I think George Martin's come out and said that his book is going to be different than the show.
Yep.
And so, okay, once that book drops, we need to call up the people at HBO and say, we're redoing this, and they'll call it, you know, Game of Thrones, the Untold Season, or something along those lines. But I send us home happy. This is not the way it should have been.
Yeah, I mean, if they do that, you know, that's like redoing the sequel trilogy for Star Wars. It's just not going to happen, you know.
But it's the biggest. It was the biggest show of all time, and to have it literally fall apart to where collective backlash, it's different if you're telling the sequel. I hate the sequel trilogy. I've been adamant about that. But at least, you know, it made sense, I guess. Yeah. But this was so egregious and rushed, and then kind of the bailout. And like, you even have them saying that they're sorry for it. You know, no one at Lucasfilm is apologizing at all. Sure. But you have the Thrones people, including the author, saying, what the hell? And so I'll never forget Emilia Clarke on the red carpet. And they say, so what do you think about season 8? Best season ever. If you remember that, one of my favorite lines ever.
And what she like rolled her eyes kind of like,
yeah, she's like best season ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So please redo that. Okay. Just for us.
Okay. I didn't see that coming at all. I mean, very fair. Very fair. I mean, yeah, I'd be down with some more Game of Thrones. I'm not gonna, you know, boycott that. All right. So my number one.
Yeah, bring it home, my man.
This is going after one of my favorite movies. You got any guess? And this is gonna be a direct sequel. There is a
direct sequel, okay.
Direct sequel. There is a recent prequel. When I say recent, like 12 years old. So there's been a prequel of this film, but I want to do a sequel. Any guesses?
Well, you just said Cabin in the Woods was your favorite movie, so it can't be that, right?
Movie. It's not my favorite movie, but I love that movie.
Is this horror genre?
Yes.
And you said there's already a prequel?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I will say a direct sequel to Silence of the Lambs.
Close. Okay.
Okay.
So this is The Thing.
Oh, so, that's right. You even told me that. You've told me that.
So let's get a direct sequel. But when I say direct sequel, I don't want it to take place right after this happens. This is going to be more in that legacy sequel genre. The idea I was thinking of, you got, it starts off with a new detective. I'm plugging in my boy Shia LaBeouf. Say what you want. I know he's got a bunch of like off-field stuff going on.
He'd be a good actor for that.
Yeah. So he's going to be my protagonist. He's going to be the lead actor in this film. Something's happening. Shit's happening. He's working a weird case, and you know there's some details about this case that reminds him of, you know, something that his dad told him about. And so he starts doing some research, you know, about Outpost 31, another Norwegian outpost and then an American outpost 31 in Antarctica, you know, in the early 80s. And that there are some details about that that match up with the case that he's currently working. So he finds out that there is only two survivors, you know, from Outpost 31. That's MacCready and Childs. And he tracks them down. We don't know how, you know, MacCready and Childs survived, but they're very much alive. Well, and this is taking place now. So it's Keith David and it's, you know, Kurt Russell now old, right? Shia LaBeouf goes to him, and that's when shit starts getting weird, right? And then basically the whole movie is a whodunit type movie. So you as the viewer, you know where the last one left off, where it was a standoff between, you know, Childs and MacCready. Like, well, who is it? It's one of those guys. You know, the alien is one of those guys, but we don't know. That was why that movie was so great. So I want to continue that same vibe, you know, that whodunit paired up with John Carpenter, who's still killing it musically. I think it's a slam dunk. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that gatekeep and hate the idea of remakes, thinking that even if it's like a bad remake, people think that that's going to fucking ruin their experience with the original, which I just think is like absurd and makes no sense to me. Like, even if a remake is shit and if one person likes it, that's a win.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of negative people,
of remakes.
There's probably a lot of people that even rolled their eyes at us thinking about this idea of reboots and things like that, because everyone's
don't touch it.
Everyone's creatively bankrupt. Come up with an original idea. Why don't you? But there's some things that, you know, can only enhance or enrich the legacy or the story that is there. And I think everything we've laid out today, especially yours, I mean, yours are well thought out and, you know, even got all the plot points and everything with them. It just enhances the legacy of these original franchises and stories. Yep. And there's a difference when you have nothing and you're like, oh, I guess we'll just remake this. That's different. This adding on and enhancing the legacy, like Ghostbusters is going to do, is, I think, what we're going for.
And I mean, even like to that point, like, yeah, Ghostbusters is going along, but like, you know, Answer the Call got a lot of shit. There's a, you know, that's a polarizing film. That's the Last Jedi in the Ghostbusters universe, you know, and so many people were pissed off that got made and hate that movie and whatever. But when I, you know, my nieces, that's like their favorite movie. And the kicker is, up until like when I found that out, like I was like watching that movie with them and like they're like, yeah, we watch this all the time. We just started watching. It's awesome. It's our favorite movie. They hadn't even watched 1 and 2, you know. So if that movie didn't, and then of course, you know, I had them watch 1 and 2, but you know, if that movie, you know, now they're Ghostbuster fans. So like I love the idea of remakes. It makes no sense to me when people are so passionate about like gatekeeping, like the shit that's happening right now with the Lost Boys. There's so many people that are so pissed off that they're remaking a Lost Boys, and it's like, who fucking cares? Like, I'm glad. I want more content. I would love to see, you know, someone's interpretation of the Lost Boys now in 2021, you know, it's not going to affect how I think about the original one. It's right. I don't get it. But yeah, that's my number one, man.
Well done. This was a solid top three.
Very solid.
I really enjoyed this. We have to, I guess, bring it back to Toy Talk, I guess, for a second,
yep.
just as we kind of dive back into Marvel, if we can. And a lot of this stuff, as we said, you know, maybe 2 weeks old. But one of the things I think that was fantastic was this retro carded wave of Spider-Man that we've been talking about a lot of these for quite a while. We talked about they need to redo a Hobgoblin, redo a Spider-Man, I'm sorry, redo a Shocker. But the big ones were the Symbiote Spider and the Ben Reilly are already sold out on Hasbro Pulse. So those were well received. Hobgoblin is officially gone now. That's the one that I know people don't have him in his collection because that's a very hard to get one. I don't like that one because it looks too flat. It looks very, very cheap. I don't know if you have the Hobgoblin one to pull up, but I'm glad to hear that it is sold out. But it doesn't have the depth to it that the other one had, you know, with the scales and things like that.
There's no texture.
There's no texture. That's the word I'm looking for. But I'm glad people are going to be able to get that. So, if you want to jump on Hasbro Pulse and secure some of those for you, go ahead. But then the great one is this Doctor Strange from Walmart. Everyone has been talking about a comic accurate Doctor Strange, Sorcerer Supreme, for quite some time. And we finally got that revealed, only to find out it is a Walmart exclusive. And that's where people get so caught up. Do you think that Doctor Strange will ever see the light of day? Or will it be kind of like the the Black Widows that, you know, kind of trickled in, or the Venomized Captain America? Where will this one fall?
Yeah, Walmart's been kind of weird with the Marvel Legends exclusives, right? Like, you know, they'll be really good and kind of like almost destined for clearance, you know, because they're just, the stores are buying too many of them, or it's like, yeah, you're not gonna see it at all, you know. So I think that last that Deadpool kind of was Domino and Deadpool that they had, like, those were, you know, and the Cable. Those were totally readily available, no problem there. I don't know, I just the fact that this is you know, Strange. I think there's just a lot of Strange hype right now with the What If, and you know, we got the
Madness. Yeah.
Yeah, we got that coming. I could see this one being pretty hard to get. That $26 price range. And there's a lot of shit in there. Like that's
like three different heads, I think.
Yep. No, this is if you are only going to get one Doctor Strange and you're not an MCU person, like, this is the definitive, you know, Doctor Strange look.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, he looks great. So hopefully, I don't think there was a release timetable for that one, but that should be coming to Walmart soon, eventually. But let's jump right over. We already talked a little bit about it, is that while Star Wars wasn't doing anything for their 6-scale, we had plenty of 6-scale news when it comes to all of the Marvel side. And so I want to start off with these What If characters, that being Captain Carter. And then today we was able to find the Hydra Stomper and Steve. And, you know, these are stylized versions, whatever, from the show. But take a gander at the price tag. $625 for this thing.
Stomper.
That's more expensive than any Iron Man figure. And I think that is absolutely absurd and a hard, hard pass for me on that.
Well, I'm guessing it's got to be like almost as big as the Hulkbuster, right?
Yeah, I mean, if I know little Steve, if you want to call it that, is probably going to be, I'd say, the size of Black Widow, you know, a little bit of a female size character, you know, before he turned into Captain America.
That's so, the body that you want for this. That's the body that you want for that Thrawn head.
There you go. There you go. Perfect. That's a great idea. So if you have that, I would say it's probably going to be like more of the Ironmonger type size, okay, if I guess. You know, it's not as big as Hulkbuster, but bigger than the Hulk, if that makes any sense. So kind of an in-between tier, but I don't think it's going to be diecast, but $625 seems very, very steep for an animated show.
Yeah.
For an animated show. So I'm a little bit kind of... what the F on that one. And then the Captain Carter is just kind of a yawn for me. I'm just not really vibing, you know, with the what if stuff. Maybe just because it's cartoons as opposed to real life. Are you vibing with what if? Are you watching what if?
Oh, I'm really into what if, man. I feel like that's absolutely my favorite Marvel show that, you know, Disney Plus slate has done out of all of them. I mean,
so you like the zombie episodes?
I felt like that episode was tailored for me. I've watched that episode like 6 times.
Oh, cool. It's
incredible. I loved everything about it. Something about, like, dude, when they're like kind of hyping up, you saw that one, then I'm guessing, yeah. Right? When they're like building up to when Vision, you know, has him and he's got him trapped and you realize there's a trap. It's a trap, you know, and he's like, oh, she's hungry, you know, and it's like, dude, like, because we all know how powerful Wanda is, right? So to see, like, oh, we got fucking zombie Scarlet Witch coming now, like, yeah. I don't know, zombies with powers is like, dude, that just seems so awesome.
Does that make you want to dive and grab any of the what if Marvel Legend lines?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be coming. I'll be grabbing that Captain. I think that's the only one so far. Yeah. But, you know, if Hot Toys dabbles in that, I'll be a player. And, you know, there's been news, you know, that we might be getting some version of, you know, live action zombie Marvel, which, you know.
Yeah, I'd heard that, you know, spoilers, everybody, that there could be that translate into the Doctor Strange film.
Sure.
So that could be interesting to see how that goes. But is it cool enough for you to pay $625 for a Hydra Stomper, though?
No, yeah, I'm definitely not into that. But yeah, I mean, sign me up for a $270 zombie, you know, Captain. And then fuck, if I get those, I'm probably gonna have to go back and buy that that Mysterio
the Spider-Man Iron Man's Mysterio one. Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see. But speaking of Spidey, again, is that we did get an update to the No Way Home suit, that one that was black and had like the red sleeves. They updated it just today and said, hey, you know, we got some new production footage and, you know, here's the new version. And it's a better, cleaner shot of that all black suit. If you remember the trailer in No Way Home, he's in the cafeteria, I think, and he takes that mask off. He's wearing that black suit. There was no red and people were freaking out. They're like, oh, my God, you know, it's going to be an inaccurate thing. But they've gone through and fixed that. But the main piece that we have to bring up is that, obviously, you know, coming up here in a couple of weeks, we get Let There Be Carnage. And yes, Dave, Let There Be Carnage, because if this Venom is anything to say about what we're about to get teased on, Carnage, baby, is potentially coming. And I hope this isn't going to be like a Loki and Sylvie situation. Hopefully this isn't a Shazam where they just tease it and you never see anything more about it. But Carnage potentially is coming. And one of the things I think is interesting in the newest TV spot is it looks like Carnage is actually bigger than Venom is. So if we're going to get this right here and then a Carnage, which is a little bit bigger than that, man, those are going to be some special figures there. And I am hyped for Let There Be Carnage.
That's going to be one of the best shelves that you'll have in your whole entire collection when you get that Carnage and you got the Venom Carnage, you know, next
to each other. Just the black and the red and the teeth. I mean, it just so cool. So hopefully that doesn't, not materialize. I think they'd be foolish not to. I mean, it's just money on the table there. And then finally released, we have last week, the Iron Patriot, which is the big honking War Machine figure with, you know, Rocket on the top on his back there. So that was released. So no Star Wars news, but there's plenty of Marvel news. So let's see if Star Wars can break the streak and give us something to talk about, you know, coming up here in the next couple weeks or so.
I would think that we will have something to report on, you know, 2 weeks from now.
Will it into existence?
You know, we got the Visions series. It starts tomorrow, I believe. Okay. Well, let's wrap it up with just a few leftovers. So this was very exciting. This is something I wanted to talk about. So we got we got the NECA cloth Quint. You know, probably early this year. And then, you know, we got our boy, Hooper.
Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, this I don't know. I don't really gravitate to the cloth figures when it comes to NECA. I primarily kind of just go after the ultimates. That being said, if they do an ultimates of all the Jaws stuff, I'll be getting all those as well as all the cloth ones. But you know, just something about these figures, it's like a doll, you know what I mean? It looks like a doll at this point. So I don't get as excited about these as I do with ultimates, but what is exciting is, you know, if we're getting him, you know, we're going to be getting Sheriff. And I think there is even rumors that we're going to be getting some sort of, you know, iteration of Bruce the Shark. And holy shit. Like if we get that whole squad, I doubt this is probably just a diorama, but if we even got like the Orca somehow,
even if it's just like the back of the boat, essentially, where you can put all three of them, you know, on there and then kind of have, I love that with the cup when he sits there and crushes the cup. That's so good.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, slow ahead. I go slow ahead. Why don't you come down here and chump some of this shit? So good. And look, is that different face sculpts, I guess? Do they have different heads?
I think it comes with two different. He's kind of more serious there, and then he's smiling there. There might even be a third one. There he is with Quint. Yeah. So this. Two. Okay. The crushed cup. That's great. Yeah. I'm very excited about this figure. Shouldn't be that hard to find. And then we got some pretty, you know, amazing news with Super 7.
Yeah, these were fire. These were fire.
And this isn't anything that Kevin or I collect, but we can't help. You tell me, Kevin, but like this to me is like a perfect wave. Like all of these figures I remember playing with, this is just, I think, the best wave assortment that they've done. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Ultimates. We got Ace Duck. Mike, this Sewer Surfer, I still have that figure. Scratch, the rarest figure out of the Playmates line. Yep. And then Slash and some Mousers.
Yeah, I mean, this is absolute perfection. We've joked about this a little bit. You know, the only thing we're collecting from Super 7 are pre-orders because they take forever to actually come out. But damn it, these look really, really good. And if you are in the Super 7, you know, Turtles line, I mean, these are the ones you want. I mean, just because the nostalgic itch from Scratch and what that represents, you know, from, you know, the Playmates, just like you'd said. But, you know, Slash is one of the coolest ones out there. You know, he was kind of the edgy, cool one. And then just it's the perfect, you know, kind of accessory pack with all the Mousers. I mean, you get everything that you'd possibly want. And I just think they absolutely nailed that. So I think the price points do make sense on these just because of what you get. But man, that window of from reveal to release is a little bit painful. It's a little bit painful.
Yeah,
what are they saying on this one? It says release, LOL.
I don't think they have it in here. Just a pre-order.
Click the terms FAQ at the top.
At the top?
Yeah, there's a thing that says FAQ.
October 20th, and that's the pre-order. Late summer 2022. 2022. Yeah, and that's where I'll call, you know, BS on that, you know, every time. They need to do a better job at setting the ETAs on these, because I do not see this being ready by that summer. I mean, I got another email today about the Thundercats Wave 3, the some QC issues, and you know, I've had that for over 2 years. You know, it's literally been 2 years, you know. So I literally just have wave one, and I've had wave 2, 3, and 4 on pre-order, a couple of them for 2 years, and then the other two over a year, you know. So it's just that's got to get better. But they're doing so much too, like all this. They got SpongeBob figures now.
Yeah,
They're doing the Simpsons.
The Simpsons like, ones are wild.
They're gonna have to scale up their operation because,
Trust them. You know, this time they've got it figured out. See you in summer 2022. They got this one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, that's pretty much it for the toy news. So, yeah.
Great episode, man. We got a lot to say. We covered a lot and talked a lot of shit, and it's been a good time, man.
Yeah, this is good. So yeah, we are bi-weekly. You guys will see us, you know, two October weeks from 5th now.
Is what it is.
Yep. And we appreciate everyone for, you know, listening and watching, and we'll see you guys on the next episode. Thanks a lot, guys.
Take care.